Episode 212, Service Planning Made Simple with Shannon Scott, Part 1. And also your chance to win free tickets to Salt 19. It's all coming up this week on Making Sunday Happen. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen. I'm Carl. Thanks for hanging out this week. If you are new to the podcast, welcome. Our podcast was formerly called the Church Media Podcast, and just a few months ago, starting with episode number 201, we changed our name to Making Sunday Happen, and we also went to full video. And since we've done that, we've seen another major boost in people watching and listening. So if you're new, welcome. A lot of people are consuming the podcast by audio through Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio or Spotify. Or you might be watching me on Facebook or YouTube or on our website. So no matter how you found us, welcome. We are glad that you're here. Be sure to check out our website, 1230.media. For more free training resources to help you with your worship experience. And also, you can check out our ready-made worship media and our custom media services. So we help churches transform their worship experience through worship media, custom media, and training. So be sure to check us out, 1230.media. This is the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute the worship experience week in and week out. So you might be on a media production team, whether you're a staff member or volunteer. You might be on your church's first impressions or guest services team, your worship team. You might be a teaching pastor or communications pastor or staff member. If you touch the worship experience in any way, this is the podcast for you. Our team is praying that the content and the guests on the show will be super practical and give you some ideas to implement at your church week in, week out. We certainly have not arrived. We are on the journey with you. Everybody on our team are ministry-minded. They've been in ministry for years and years. I've served on two church staffs and an international ministry. So I can understand, our team can understand the grind of the week to week and making Sunday happen every single week. And we're on the journey with you. So we're just sharing ideas and talking about stuff. So feel free to jump into the community with us. Facebook.com/Making Sunday Happen is our Facebook group. You can jump in there. If you have a question or need anything at all, even prayer, I was about to say just prayer. But if you need prayer, if you're a church staff member that has no one else to talk to because you can't share it with your church staff members because they're your coworkers or your boss, I want you to call us 910-849-1230. That's 910-849-1230. We would love to just chat with you. We'd love to pray with you. We would love to be an outlet, a resource, a confidential spot for you to share, and also a help to you. So 1230.media is our website. 910-849-1230 is our phone number. You can also call us if you have any question about how to make Sunday happen, about the worship experience. You can call us or you can send in your questions and we'll answer them in our mailbag segment that we have each and every week at the close of the podcast. So you can do that. You can either email that in. Carl@1230.media is my email address. You can call us or you can hashtag MSH mailbag on social media. MSH mailbag on social media. We'll see that and possibly get it on the show for you. This week's episode of our podcast is sponsored by our friends at Salt Conference, and Salt 19 is coming fast, October 9th through 11th at Long Hollow Baptist Church in Nashville. For tickets for you and your team, you can visit salt19.com. I can't speak highly enough about Luke and Victoria and Tim and the entire team over at Salt. I've known Luke for several years. We work another event together, and his team really does it right over at SALT. It is the creative conference for the church. SALT19.com is where to go to get tickets. And speaking of tickets, we are doing a big giveaway this week. So here is your chance to win free tickets to SALT 19. I'm giving away 4 tickets for you and your team. So you and 3 of your team members or volunteers can go to SALT absolutely free. Here's what you need to do. I wrote a book with my friend Luke from SALT, who he runs the SALT conference and the team over there. It's called The Production Dictionary. It's over 250 terms and phrases used in the worship experience setting. That's from video, audio, lighting terms, stage design terms, and more. And we're offering this book to you guys absolutely free. So here's what you need to do. Go to 1230.media/dictionary, 1230.media/dictionary, and download the book for free. 1230.media/dictionary. So here's what we're doing. We're collecting the names of everyone who downloads the book in the next week. Okay, 1230.media/dictionary, download the book. Your information will come through. We're collecting those names for whoever downloads that book over the next week, and we're choosing one name out of that pot, one name. So if we pull your name, we will contact you, and you'll give us the name of 3 of your other team members that you would like to take to the conference, and we will get you the information for those 4 free tickets. 1230.media/dictionary. Download the book. You'll give us your information, and we're pulling one name to win 4 free tickets to SALT. All right, and guys, tickets are $400, nearly $400 per person. So this is an incredible deal. This is $400 a pop, absolutely free. 4 free tickets, 1230.media/dictionary. So if you're a church that's thinking, I haven't signed up, I've just been procrastinating, I haven't signed up or gotten tickets for SALT, and you want to take your team for free, this is the chance to do so. Okay, 1230.media/dictionary. Do it quick. This is a 1 week only giveaway. I'll be announcing the winner on Facebook next week. So go get it. 1230.media/dictionary. All right, speaking of SALT, about a week or so ago, I got on a Zoom call with my friend Luke McElroy, and we talked about what you can expect at this year's SALT conference. Here's my convo with Luke. Check this out. Hey guys, for the last couple of months on the podcast, we've been airing workshops, full workshops from SALT 18 last year. And joining me by video is the visionary behind SALT, Luke McElroy. Luke, what's up, man?
What's going on, Carl?
All right. So it's been incredible sharing these workshops on the podcast the last couple of months, man. Thank you so much.
Let me tell you, our whole team, we've been watching them alongside you, and we're like, oh, wow, that was good content. Like, we were at the conference, and we still forget how good it was.
I know. I was in several of these, and I was like, oh, that's right. And I pull my notes out, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Man, that's so good. All right. So, man, thank you so much for you guys allowing us and us partnering together to show those. It's been incredible content.
You're welcome, dude. It's an honor for us.
All right. So as we're sharing this, we're all leading up to SALT 19. So share with us a little bit about the theme of the conference this year and what people can expect when they come.
Yeah. So real quick, the theme is called For Such a Time as This. And it comes out of the whole story of Esther. And I hope that everyone listening to this, whether you come to SALT or not, I hope you take some time to read Esther. Because I was sitting with a guy on our team who's helping us brainstorm some stuff. And he just was telling me that he had a personal revelation with the story of Esther and what God's teaching him in this day and age and what God's teaching him in this season. But I was reading this several years ago, and I told our team about it, and we just felt like it was so timely for 2019. Because Esther is this person who all her life, she just remained faithful with what God had kind of put before her. And she stepped into it not really knowing whether or not what she was doing was for the good or for the bad. I mean, there's a lot of pieces in there. And then all of a sudden, at one pinnacle point in time, The king, unbeknownst to the king, really, the king's sort of right-hand person was creating a plan to, like, kill all of Esther's people. And Esther's uncle essentially says, hey, Esther, you may be at your royal position for such a time as this, to leverage the influence you now have with the king and to speak up and to say something so that you can save a bunch of people. And I don't know what it was, Carl, but reading that just caused me to go, holy cow. In the day and age that we live in, where there is more content being uploaded to YouTube per minute than any human could consume in a week's time, let alone 2 weeks' time. Literally, no one could consume the amount of creativity that's being put out in the world today. And so as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about just how much our culture wants creativity, and they're putting out content, and they're creating content, I started thinking about, whoa, there's also this conversation happening right now of, like, is the church dead? You know, has the church lost the next generation? And I had this sort of Esther moment of, well, what if it was the creative class in the church that had come to their royal position for such a cultural time like this? And these cultural times have happened all along in the past, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But that's the whole heartbeat, the whole theme of Salt 19, is that it is time for the creative church to awaken to the opportunity that culture is giving us and that God is giving us to step into your creative calling, to do things where the church becomes the epicenter of creativity, and we actually get to reach people for the name of Jesus using the gifts, talents, and conduits that God has given us of creativity. And so that's it. It's really centered around the idea of influence, creative influence, personal influence, and church influence.
So give me a sense of speakers, workshop sessions. I know some of this is on your website, but give us a sense of who I'm going to see, who I'm going to learn from.
Yeah, so they can go see the whole list at salt19.com. That's salt19.com. And they can check out all these details. But I'm super excited. We've got Whitney George coming back. He's been at Salt before. He's one of our highest rated speakers. Ian Cron. I mean, this dude's on fire, right? I mean, Enneagram, he wrote the book, I think, like 3 years ago, but it is finally, like, blowing up. And I'm sure that everybody listening has done the Enneagram. I'm a three. I know it wholeheartedly. We actually spoke with him just the other day, and he's going to write a brand new talk for this community about the power and the sort of superhero-ness we have as those who tap into the imagination of our community and our congregation. But he's also going to talk about Enneagram. So we're giving him two sessions. He's going to spend a whole session on Enneagram. We've got Dr. Andrew Johnston coming back. We've got Joseph Sojourner coming back. And then we've got a bunch of surprises that I can't talk about. But those are kind of main sessions. And then we've got like 35 workshop speakers who come from all walks of life. Everybody from Saddleback to North Point to Dave Ramsey's organization, some of the people at Music Bed Film Supply. They've got some people coming. I mean, we've just got a world-class crew of speakers.
Awesome, man. All right. If I haven't gotten a ticket for myself.
And I didn't even mention that Matt Maher is going to be there. I mean, come on.
Come on. And my friend Meredith Andrews and her husband.
Yes. Meredith Andrews and Jacob Suter are going to be there. And yeah, we're just, it's probably some of the best content. I know for main sessions specifically, last year I was saying it's going to be the best workshops we've ever had. And I think this year is on par, if not past that, but it's tough because we took what we learned in the last couple of years and sort of said, hey, we want to go even further. But main sessions are going to be fire this year. So
yeah, awesome, man. All right, how can I get tickets? How can I get tickets for my team?
Salt19.com. We have team discounts and stuff like that. And dude, we would love for you guys to come. I'm telling you, I don't even know when this is going to air, but we are close to a sellout. And you've got to work quick. And if you've come in the past and you forgot to get tickets, reach out to our team. Let us know you're an alumni, and we'll try and help you with a little bit of a discount. But salt1919.com, or you can just go to saltcommunity.com, and there's some links there.
Yep. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate everything that you're doing, and looking forward to this year's event, man.
It's going to be awesome.
Every service planning process needs a proven method of distilling creative, big-picture ideas into manageable tasks and timelines. We don't want to stifle creativity, but we also don't want chaos either. My guest today on the show will show us the creative board process. Now, this is the same process that many of the engineers from Disney World and other organizations have implemented to increase clarity, creativity, and communication. So today I want you to listen for how to be intentional about putting together a set list for your church. Listen for how to work with your pastor and with your team in the process of selecting songs, and listen for some effective ways to introduce new songs and know when they are working or not. So if you're a worship leader, a pastor, or help plan the experiences at your church, today's episode is really, really practical for you. Here's my chat with Shannon Scott, and then we'll throw to part one of her workshop from Salt 18. Shannon Scott, here we go. Hey guys, today I welcome Shannon Scott to the podcast. Shannon has served on staff at North Point Community Church and Passion City Church in Atlanta, and now serves on staff at Church of the City in Franklin, Tennessee. She has a background in children's and family ministry, and also has been a major player in planning and creating and executing worship experiences at all three of those churches. Shannon, you're leading a camp this week, so you got the sanctuary auditorium look in the background going on too.
Yes, I do. Yes, we brought our church, our kids actually, third through sixth graders, to kids camp this week, and my husband and I happen to be worship leaders for the camp, so it is full tilt this week. Awesome. With kids at camp.
Awesome. Is that in Franklin or somewhere else?
It's actually in Kentucky, so about 3 hours and 45 minutes from Franklin. So it's it's nice enough to feel far away, but not too far away.
Nice. All right, so I gave a little bio of yourself, but catch us up. What have you been doing the last few years, and maybe some of your role at Church of the City?
Yeah, I have been in family ministry for now 25 years and kind of fell into it, actually. Somebody... a family pastor saw the worship gift and just put me on stage in front of parents and kids, and it accidentally became a passion of mine. And so my husband and I have spent the 20 years we've been married leading worship for kids, as well as writing kids songs and children's curriculum for churches. And over the last several years, I've had the privilege of being a children's pastor, both at Passion City, as you mentioned, and then now in Franklin, which it's so fun to just be able to lead and invest in parents and kids and disciple kids and partner with families in that way. So it is a passion of mine for sure. But because those churches were very big, they did lots of events. And so as well, you know, it may not be the normal experience for a children's pastor to also have experience in large events, but it has been our story, and it's come in very handy to be able to create great experiences for people.
So do you mainly serve in kids worship experience space, or adult, or both?
Actually, both. Yes. So when we were at North Point, you know, they kind of specialized in events. And so we would do marriage events and family events and singles events and just all kinds of events. Christmas, of course, was just a huge extravaganza. And so over the years, we've kind of been able to hone that and bring that into the camp environment and all those kinds of things. So it's been... it's been more production and big event experience than is probably the norm with a church pastor role, but it's come in handy because we run, like at Easter, we ran almost 1,200 kids at Church of the City. And so there's no way what we do isn't big. And so it helps to know how to engage a crowd that size.
Right. Awesome. Okay. So on today's episode, we're going to talk all about service planning.
Yes.
So as you mentioned, you have experience in all kinds of worship experiences and events. So when it comes to planning the worship experience, it takes a method, especially with a larger church, to kind of distill all the information from a group of people, creatives especially, and kind of meld that into an experience that everybody can execute on. So in your talk in Salt 18 last year, which I sat in, actually, I was there, and you talked through the creative board process. So that's what we're going to be learning about today. So kind of tee us up, give us a little bit of what that is, where you learned it, and kind of what you're going to share.
Yeah, the creative board process, actually, I learned at North Point. And so it was kind of just coming on the scene 20 years ago, and it was all tactile. So it was an actual big black board with lots of different color note cards. And so we would go into meetings, creative meetings, and anything to plan the event. And that board was always present. And that was the vehicle that we used to capture all the ideas. Because you mentioned creatives. And when you get a bunch of creatives in a room, the ideas are flowing, but not necessarily the organization around it and the necessary flow to an event. And so people being able to freely just come out with their ideas and us capture them, but be able to then go back and distill them down to something that will work for an overall experience, right, is what the creative board process is so helpful for. And it actually just kind of lives through the entire event process, and it gets tweaked in real time, and it gets organized to where you can actually look at it and see the entire flow of an event or conference or retreat or whatever you might be planning. I've yet to find the event experience that a creative board isn't helpful in planning.
So I know you guys used it at North Point, but I've read that it's also used it at Disney and some other places. Is that where you guys kind of got it and implemented from, or?
I don't actually know what the chicken or the egg was in that scenario, but yeah. I know that it has certainly gained traction. I do know that Disney uses it, as well as several other creative organizations. It also is now available as a digital process, which is great for people that maybe the tactile card on a board isn't what works for them, but they still want to distill ideas down. So yeah, it comes in so handy because there are several stages of meetings that need to happen leading up to an event, and all the right people need to be in the room for the right meetings, and the wrong people don't need to be in the room for certain ones.
Exactly.
So capturing everything on that board lets them be represented while not necessarily having to be there. And many creatives don't want to sit in more than about one meeting about something. They just want to give their idea and then do the thing. Yeah. So this helps that happen.
Good. Well, before we pitch to the workshop, tell us where we can find it digitally. That intrigued me. Is there a software or where?
I said that. I'm actually going to check with my husband, who's sitting here, to make sure I don't get it wrong. Will you look up what the exact creative board website is? Because I do not remember it off the top of my head.
We still like
the cards and the pens.
I'm with you there. We'll get that from you and kind of post it in the show notes for anybody that is moving to digital. Okay, so let's pitch to part one of the workshop. Okay, so this is Shannon Scott at Salt 18 talking about how to make your service planning simple. Check this out.
My name is Shannon Scott, and my partner, whom you can't see, his name is Colette Taylor, and she had some health challenges and had to bail out at the last minute on this, so she will not be here. So if anybody would like to leave, if you were like counting on that, you want to say, fantastic, it's good. So Colette says that she is sorry she cannot be here. Colette is the executive director of Orange, which is a curriculum-based children's curriculum, children's students, preschoolers, that is fantastic. But Colette and I worked together at North Point Community Church for about 15 years in family ministry. And so I helped with service programming, event programming, leading worship, all of those fun things at North Point for many years, and then moved to Passion City Church in Atlanta and did much of the same thing there, along with being a children's pastor. Now I'm at Church of the City in Franklin, and I'm children's pastor there. So a lot of this content comes from back in the day of all the event planning and all the service programming and all the fun things that we would get to do at North Point. And the creative board's process became integral to anything that we were planning. And we found that it took what can just be a conglomeration of confusion, streamlined everything down, but we got to the heart of what we wanted to get to. And we're able to put some really great events and services together. So that's what we're going to talk about in here. It's going to be super practical, so I hope that's okay. And you may be like, why are you saying this color card? And it's because it actually matters, and it helps a ton. And so maybe at the end of this, you'll have a lot of information that you can go back to where you came from and go, here's how we're doing meetings. And I think you'll find that it makes your life not feel like, I just spent time I will never get back. I don't know what we accomplished. I still don't know what we're doing. Everyone had an opinion. We never landed on anything. And it will still come down to two people in a room going, this is what we're doing. And everyone will go, were we all at the same meeting? So we want to do away with that process. I actually had two or three of those meetings that I just described this past week. And I was like, I'm literally about to get up and talk about how that doesn't happen. But I feel like God was just like, I'm going to give you this time so that you will remember the pain of feeling completely unproductive and going home at the end of the day and saying to your spouse, well, we said a lot, but I don't think we actually did anything, because that's how I went home 2 days this past week. So I would love to know, who are you? Shout out your title if you want to. And I want to say, I think we all know we are not, our identity is not what we do and that whole thing. So we'll just put on the table that we're all sons and daughters of God. We all have a purpose in the earth and we're all special. But I'd love to know what you do in your job that this process will help you with. So who are you? Shout it out.
Worship pastor.
Yes.
Arts.
Creative arts.
Slash.
You're the, and anything else we deem appropriate. Yes, okay, the slash, I love it. What else?
Production manager.
Admin, production manager.
Production,
video, yep. Lighting, stage design. Any communicators? Yep, same, okay. So everybody in everything that we just mentioned can benefit from this. I also think this works for concert tours, road manage, we're going to take this thing on the road, how are we going to do it, camps, conferences, no matter what you can possibly imagine, this process works for. So we're going to start from 30,000 feet and just make sure we're all on the same page with principles, which I know we will be, and we'll just work our way down. Most of the things I'm going to say you already know intuitively, but in a room like this and on a day like this, it just helps if we all hear the same thing and nod together. And then we jump off from there. The other thing I would say is, don't be afraid to go back to your team and say all these obvious things. I have three kids and I say the same things to them over and over again. Not because they're dumb, but because vision has a short shelf life and you have to keep saying it over and over and over again. So you have to say at the beginning of every meeting, just reminding everybody, this isn't a free for all. Here's kind of the funnel we want everything to go into. And then you have to use your shepherd's staff in the meeting to be like, thank you so much, that was hilarious. If we could just come back to, right? So, the most effective creative meetings are organized creative meetings. How many of you are organized by nature? Like you're like, there's a specific thing going on in the sock drawer, everything on the desk has to be a certain way. Like, how many of you were like, I'm creative, not organized. These two things are, right? It's okay. This can help you stay creative, but be organized, and everyone still love each other at the end of the meeting, okay? If a creative meeting is an organized meeting, then everyone in it knows why they're there and what you're trying to accomplish. Have you ever gone into a meeting and gone, what's the goal? Like, we just circled a lot of planes, none of them ever landed, and they're all running out of gas, but we still don't know what the goal is, right? The use of a creative board in a creative meeting keeps the objectives of the meeting not only in front of you, but in front of everyone, right? We're all looking at the same thing, as opposed to we're all on our laptops taking individual notes and we all have a different spin on what we're walking away with, okay? So, the use of creative boards. One, helps you stay on track. The best example of this is, hey everybody, we're just going to come together and we are planning the Easter service. It is February, okay, and so we're just here to plan Easter. Well, about halfway through the meeting, somebody pops up with a fantastic idea for Christmas. You know what we should do? Is we should, and then we spend 45 minutes talking about what is an amazing idea for Christmas. But now we've used up everyone's time. We have an Easter service in 2 months. We don't know what we're doing there. But like 10 months from now at Christmas, man, this is going to be amazing. Does that make sense? So the creative board that says, we're here about Easter, is going to keep everybody on track. And it's going to do it gently without you constantly having to crack Indiana Jones whips, right? Two, it allows you to throw out all kinds of ideas, and there's no bad idea. So for those of you that are like, all I do is have ideas. I have crazy ideas. I have awesome ideas. I have really expensive ideas. I have super cheap ideas. All ideas are valid in a creative meeting.
Amen.
Okay? There is no stupid idea. No stupid idea. Even if it's actually stupid, it's not stupid in the creative meeting, right? Number three, it allows you to weed through all the ideas and get to the best idea. The great thing about a creative board is that the creative board stays that way and kind of always holds that meeting until you take it apart. So when you're like, what did Bob say? It was something like a, what was it? Just go back to your board, because it's there. His amazing idea is on the board. If you're like, what did Julie say that was horrific and we're never doing it, but I can't remember exactly what it was. I just remember that we were all thinking that's horrific because there's no stupid idea, nobody said it, but there's absolutely no way that we're handling snakes at this conference. What was it? Don't worry, it was on the board because she said it and nobody shamed her because it's not a stupid idea in a creative meeting, right? But then you can go, oh no, right? Lastly, creative boards does not mean you don't need someone to take copious notes. So there's always a note taker in your creative meeting so that everybody can be creative and the ideas are up on the board, but you need one of your detail-oriented, fast typing, not stressed under pressure, doesn't become overwhelmed when ideas are flying around people to take copious notes of the meeting. Because that's what's going to save you at the end when you're like, all I see is snakes, but I don't know what that meant. And she's going to go, she said that we should pass them out to the children to explain to them what it was like when they threw the snake on the ground and it became, you know, no, we're not doing that, right? A great note taker captures details that are attached to the broad ideas. It does have to be a great note taker, and therefore this is a very specific person, a very specific personality, right? Don't be afraid to say, oh no, I know you said you can take notes, but no, we need to pick someone specific to do the notes. That's great. It doesn't even have to be somebody that's in your department. So if you're like, our video team does not have a note taker. Somebody does. Ask them to come and just take notes for your meeting. There are people that are just wired that way. And they're wired to take information and disseminate it. So the types of meetings that it's helpful to use a creative board. Number one, brainstorming. This is the, okay guys, we've never talked about this before meeting. So we call these blue sky meetings, right? Everything's in play. The snakes are in play, planes are in play, fire, pyro, it's all in play in the brainstorming meeting, right? Nothing's too far-fetched. If you think it in this meeting, say it. You'll notice I said, if the person's in charge of the budget, this is not their meeting, okay? Because Aaron has been the whole time literally having hives over the fact that you're like, because if we talked to the Air Force, I'm sure they would fly jets over and we could time in with like, how great is our God or the national anthem or something. And it would be like, oh, and he's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So the budget person, they're going to come in at a later date. Let's don't bring the CFO to the brainstorming meeting because you're not looking for all the no's. You're looking for ideas because it's going to get you to the best doable idea, even if some of them are far-fetched and not doable. Stay focused. Creativity without focus just leads to confusion, right? That's the meeting you walk out of and don't know what's been done. Divide your ideas by topic. So as ideas are starting to come forward, you can go, these are all the song suggestions. These are all the interactive with the audience, somebody's leaving the stage or somebody's coming onto the stage suggestions. These are all the video suggestions, either videos we're creating from scratch or videos we're trying to find and get licensing for or something we saw that we want to use. These are all the stage elements, communicators, hosts, get what I'm saying? Lighting and stage design, what do we need as far as actual tactile props or whatever's going to be used in your type of event? As people are going, what about this, what about this, and what about this? Somebody's dividing all of those ideas and starting to line them up in topics. So if it's like, well, we're planning Christmas and we have 200 songs, but we don't know what we're saying, who's coming, what the point is. So maybe let's move away from songs. Songs is easy. What else for this Christmas presentation, okay? Things to think about: social media presence, decor, lobby, parking lot. Anything that happens outside the room, not just inside the room, is all game in the brainstorming meeting. Decision making, okay? Start weeding through in a decision making meeting. So we brainstormed and everything was in play. Now we're in a decision making meeting and we're weeding. This group of people does not have to be the same people that was in the brainstorming meeting, but this group of people does have to be people that can actually say yes or no. So now you're going to start bringing in some of your decision makers that might have been stressed in the brainstorming meeting, but can now see that you've thought through everything, see that there's lots of options, and you're going to start weeding. When you're weeding, it's just because this isn't going to work in our context. That's not going to work in our context. It's not. This idea was thought up by someone who has no clue about anything we're doing, has no idea how things happen. They just came in and were like, why don't we just, and they don't know what it takes. No, it's just not going to work in our context. It moves it on without making it a cesspool for all the issues. A marketing or decor person is great to bring in at this stage of the game because they're going to get the concept for what you're trying to accomplish, and they need an on-ramp to determine, here's what our social media marketing around this needs to be. Here's what we need to start thinking of in terms of decor, or we're building things from scratch, or we're going to somehow find a plane and affix it to a wall inside, right? Marketing and decor probably need to be brought in at this point because you can't bring them in at the ninth hour and then be like, make something amazing, right? They need an on-ramp. Next kind of meeting is an action meeting. The decisions have all been made. Well, except the one that you thought was going to cost $2,000, but it's actually going to cost $10,000. And so now you need to figure out what from the ideas that you may have discarded originally needs to come back in because you're having to make a shift. But all the decisions have pretty much been made by the action meeting. In this, you're using that same creative board that's now been weeded and is starting to take shape and look like an actual event or a service or a conference or whatever, and you're starting to assign action steps, tasks to people. Everything on the board will then have somebody's name attached to it. Hey, I'm the person that's going to take care of making sure this column happens. I'm going to call these singers or engage this speaker or find out what's happening with so-and-so or see if I can get a video editor to do this, okay? Action meetings. It also enables you to keep track in real time of here's who's owning what. When I need to start an accountability process of has this been done, it's not like, who said that they were gonna? It's like, well, Jim's name is on all these cards, so somebody called Jim, right? Next, these are actually my favorite meetings, is a debrief meeting. So once you've actually executed all of this, come back together and celebrate what went right and talk positively about what didn't. The trap of a debrief meeting can be to shred everything that didn't work and lose sight of all that went well. This is especially true in services. We had a situation where the service was amazing. The sermon was amazing. The worship was amazing. Everything was amazing. But there was a hosting moment that was an absolute train wreck. Such a train wreck, so much dead air, so much confusion, and just like scrolling on a phone, just like confusion. And all we had the tendency to talk about after that was, oh my God. Well, the service was 90 minutes long, and that was five of it. The other 85 minutes were great. And chances are that it wasn't as uncomfortable for the people not as tuned in to those kinds of things as all of us in this room would be. We would have all been as uncomfortable as I was. But Joe Schmo, person who was just coming to church on Sunday, had 85 minutes of a really phenomenal experience with God, right? But if we weren't careful, we would only talk about that five-minute train wreck. Instead, it needs to become, hey, that probably wasn't our best foot forward. What do we need to do next time to ensure that that gets shored up? Make sure in a debrief meeting it doesn't become a trash session. Also, make sure you celebrate everything that went right. We as creatives and executors and organizers have a tendency to only see what went wrong. and diminish or dismiss everything that went right. Well, of course, so-and-so was going to be amazing. I mean, it's what they do. It's like, whoa. It could have been a train wreck, but it wasn't. Let's celebrate that. It helps your team leave encouraged and not discouraged. Because when you leave something discouraged after you've just poured your guts out doing it, it makes you come into the next creative process a little like, ooh, let's be sure we don't screw up like the last time. Or let's make a bunch of safe suggestions so that there's no way they can possibly fail. And then we lose the benefit of all the creativity that is in the room, right? So let's talk about, let's just take an event meeting, a service planning event type meeting. In fact, let's call it a Christmas family service. Let's just let that be our baseline. So let's talk about who is in the meeting. So this is the brainstorming meeting. Who's in it? First, a messaging person. Somebody in the room needs to understand what the content is and where the plane is going to land. So what do we, at the end of a Christmas family service, want the people who came to walk away with? Where do we want to land? What's our goal? What's our theme? What's our content? There needs to be one person in there at least who knows what that is and can keep us from going way outside the lane that we want to be in. Next, a creative person, two or three people who know how to bring content to life. Maybe it's video, maybe it's production, or someone who's just great creatively. Maybe it's an actor. Maybe it's somebody who is in brand management and strategy and doesn't actually have a stake in the Christmas family service, but is going to be a great extra set of eyes, ears, and ideas because they're not in the trenches of what we do day in and day out, and they're not handcuffed by, well, we know we can't do that because they'll never let us move that from there to there, and so we're just not going to do it, right? Maybe that person needs to be in the room. You want people, as far as creatives, who are in the room who aren't concerned with coming up with the best idea and owning that idea. Does that make sense? So sometimes we as creatives can be like, we should. And we want that to be just the deal breaker and everyone bows down and says, we don't even know why we tried. That is the most brilliant thing ever, right? But you as a creative in a brainstorming meeting about the Christmas family service just want to help bring things that everybody can jump off of. It may be that you know what we should do, turns into, yeah, we should do a third of that, but the rest of it should be this, and that needs to be great with you because it was a combination of ideas that have arrived us at the best place. So if you have somebody that is brilliant and you know they're brilliant, but it's their way or the highway, they don't need to be in the brainstorming meeting. They need to come in when you're like, this is what I need you to do and I know you're gonna kill it, and then just let them kill it. But it doesn't need to be, if we don't do this, then I pout because we didn't do my thing, right? Not that anyone would ever do that. Next, the note taker. The note taker is in the brainstorming meeting because that's how it's not gonna feel like just a conglomeration of cards on a board when we're done. That then can get sent to everybody that was in the meeting because you know that you're gonna leave the meeting and then have a great idea, right? So the notes help you go, hey, maybe also add this, maybe also add this. We can talk about this next time we're around the table. This is something I thought of, rather than a text or a Voxer or a random email and it never gets to anything. All goes in the notes. Make sure there's a note taker. Where is this Christmas family service brainstorming meeting happening? Well, if it could not happen in the most boring space you have, that would be helpful. We are in a stinking cool environment right here, right? We're not sitting in a conference room looking at white walls, bored out of our minds with me with like an overhead projector and like transparencies that I'm like trying to get up. You know, it's just, that would make it be like wah, wah in this space. So what's the space in your church, office, building, home, coffee shop? What's the space that you can create that makes creative people feel creative? What's the space that you can create that makes the details not feel so laborious? Do you need to spruce up a space you've already got? And I think I put that on the screen, like put the tape, cover it with craft paper. Sometimes if I'm just doodling on something, I can stay focused, right? If I'm creating something, if I'm jotting notes down on this craft paper in front of me, I can stay focused. If I've got a fidget spinner, if I've got something to do with my hands, this is especially true if you're like, if you've got somebody that's just like ideas are what they do, it will help them channel that energy and channel that focus into something helpful. And I know you do that maybe like, are you seriously talking about like where we have a meeting? Yeah, because if we don't think about it, we unintentionally set up a barrier to what could be lots of creativity. You've all gone away on an off-site or have gone somewhere or just changed the venue of your standing weekly meeting, and it's like, it felt really good, but I don't know why. It's because the environment matters a ton when we're talking about this stuff. If you're planning a Christmas family experience, deck out an entire room in Christmas in September so that people are in the vibe. Play the music, cut the air down to 50, right? Bring some hot chocolate in, okay? Can we all just praise for the weather that's happening outside right now? It's amazing. When the worst time to do a creative meeting is 3:00 in the afternoon, just don't do it. No one has ever had a successful, dynamic creative meeting in the afternoon lull when if we don't have coffee, we won't make it, right? Morning is great. Bring in brunch and do a creative meeting. Immediately after lunch or over lunch is great. Something about food stimulates everything. Right after lunch, everybody's feeling, okay, I can make it through the rest of the day. 3:00, terrible. Don't do it. But evening, make it a nighttime thing. Hey, we just didn't have time during the day, but everybody's gonna come over, I'm gonna grill out, we're gonna have a creative meeting. That's great. Just pay attention to the fact that your meetings that you're having at 2, 3, and 4:00, those are killers, right? Don't do a creative meeting then. Nobody's creative. What? Define the objective for the meeting. We're here to come up with this year's family Christmas service. We want it to be, and then describe, what do we want it to be? Do we want it to be reverent? Do we want it to be acoustic? Do we want them to walk away with a service project that they're doing? Or do we want it to be full of energy, exciting, dynamic, live band? We want it to snow. We want everybody to walk away feeling like X. That's the objective for the meeting. You're gonna finalize what ideas you can actually make happen in a later meeting, so don't worry about those. And if you, as the leader, have preconceived ideas about what you're definitely doing, maybe hold those. Because the weight of your voice as a leader will determine what people feel safe enough to suggest after you have given your opinion. Does that make sense? So if you're like, I can tell you this, we're not doing X, Y, and Z, and we're definitely doing X, Y, and Z. Well then, now everybody's got a box that they didn't have when they came in, and they're gonna be less likely to go, what about? Because you as the leader have lent weight with your voice, which is great when used correctly, okay? Some other ways to use creative boards, just in case you're like, what if it's not a meeting? A schedule of personnel for multiple events at once. So for those of you that are like, but that's Planning Center. Yes, it is Planning Center. But if you wanted to see it and sketch it and kind of get an overview of this is what we want to do for the quarter, sometimes it's good to just get it up off the screen and out to where you can just move things around and be moving people who are on cards around. Works great for that. A to-do list for large events. Maybe one of your meetings is, okay, we've done the brainstorming and we know who's owning everything, but now let's take who's owning everything all in a room and actually create the to-do list in a column. Jim's whole column is this. So that if Jim gets hit by a bus, somebody else can come in and go, oh, I know exactly what Jim's doing, right? Not just, Jim's got it, you know? Jim may have it, but what if Jim has a migraine? Well, somebody else needs to be able to pick it up. So it's great for to-do lists of multiple things. Order of service, this is my favorite way to use a creative board. I can start, for those of you that are planning a Sunday service, start and then move stuff around. Nope, we're not doing it there. Nope, the video is terrible there. It's great for between services. That didn't work. We're moving that to another slot. Everybody can see it. Everybody knows what's happening. Is that good?
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, next week we'll air part two of Shannon's workshop, but now it's time for the mailbag. If you have a question that you would like answered on the show, please send it in, carl@1230.media or on social, hashtag MSH mailbag. We'll see that and answer it here on the show. Our question this week comes from Michael Rome. He's asking about sermon bumpers and trailers. Here's his question. I'm a youth pastor that has learned how to make my own series graphics from scratch, or at least how to take pre-made ones and strip them down to fit my ministry. What is a simple way to create a bumper just using the graphics and some motion and background music, just to provide about a 20-second transition? Okay, Michael, here is my answer. Quite honestly, this is a skill. Okay? So, number one, my first suggestion would be to hire a company like 1230 Media to produce videos for you using your graphics. Now, this is not a sales pitch. I'm just telling you that I've been creating video content for years, and it would be similar to, hey, you know that song, get on stage and lead some music. It might happen, but it might be stumbling at first. So this is something that is a skill that is learned, on how to create really high quality videos, especially with your students. They're going to know quality. I mean, adults will too, but students are consumed, by video and media content. And so they're going to know quality right off the bat. And so my first suggestion, again, is not a sales pitch, but to hire, it doesn't have to be 1230, but I would hire a professional to do it. And there's some really affordable solutions out there, for that, for your budget, even for student ministry. We really try hard to get inside your budget, even for student ministry. So that's suggestion number one. Suggestion number two is, if that's not in the cards for you, I might would use some pre-made media. So like a series in a box from 1230, or other pre-made series that gives you the Photoshop files. And you mentioned this a little bit, but I would continue that process of taking the Photoshop files to change the graphic for your ministry and ask the company to tweak the video content for your needs. So that is a cheaper solution. So for instance, if we have a series in a box on our website, we have one called Fool's Gold that's great for students. If you take the Fool's Gold series in a box, if you take the Photoshop file that's editable, out of that, you can change the name to something else. And then you can ask us, hey, can you change some of the text in the bumper and change the title graphic? And we're going to do that for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost to create something from scratch. So that's a low-cost option. And several companies offer this, to be honest, okay? So there are, you know, Igniter Media does this. They have a retitle service and others. So if you find a pre-made content online, contact that company and see if you can have them retitle it for a discounted price. Okay. Third suggestion for you. You can use sources like videohive.net to pull templates to create your own videos. But again, video editing and motion graphics especially are skills. And the prices are so low now that companies we've gotten the prices so low that it's super affordable for you. so it's possible for you to create your own, but I'm going to steer you against it. Whether you use 1230 or not, I'm going to steer you to using a company for it. Also too, you're going to get stuck in trying to figure out Photoshop, trying to figure out After Effects, trying to get on lynda.com or wherever you might go and learn those software. And I know what you're thinking, well, I don't have the money to do that, to pay for a company to do it. I understand that, but I would go that route rather than trying to spin your wheels and spend your time trying to learn software that is not in your wheelhouse. You're a youth pastor, pastor youth. That needs to be your seat on the bus. That needs to be your role. And you need to use companies like us and others that our seat on the bus is to make content for you. So lean into that. Okay. So there's my three suggestions to you. Pre-made media, use other companies, or if you have to, You can pull templates from places like videohive.net. Envatoelements.com is another site to go to pull a lot of graphic templates and stuff like that. Okay, so Michael, I hope that helped you. Without being too sales pitchy, I hope it gave you some ideas to use to create your own stuff and to get what you need for your students. Thank you for your question. Really appreciate it. Show notes page for this episode of the podcast is at makingsundayhappen.com. You can join the Facebook community at facebook.com/makingsundayhappen. Well, thank you guys for listening and watching this week, and really appreciate you. We're praying for you. If there's anything that our team can do for you, I want you to know that it is our heart to serve you. We have to make a living. We need to feed our families, but that is not what we're about. We are about loving God and loving people. And if you haven't heard this from me before, that's where 12:30 comes from, is Mark 12:30, when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was or is. And he talks about loving God first and loving people second. So we can have the best worship experiences on the planet, but if we forget to love God and love people, it's all for naught. All right, so I want to encourage you this week, love God, love people, and go out there and create some amazing worship experiences this weekend. We love you guys. See you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.